Hi, I'm Bella Gandhi, founder of Smart Dating Academy and your host of this beautiful podcast. We're here to bring more love into your life, regardless of if you're single, if you're married, if you're thinking about becoming single, if you're thinking about becoming married or finding the lid to your pot. And we're going to bring more life into that love that you have or you want. You might have seen me on Good Morning America or Steve Harvey or the Today Show or 100 other places, but I'm so happy that you are here with us because we're going to make your life and your love better. Smart daters, welcome back. I'm so excited to have with us today, Rebecca Fineglass. Now you may say, who's Rebecca Fineglass? Well, let me tell you who she is. She's today's expert. If you kind of heard about that one girl a couple of months ago who threw herself a divorce party that I believe was in Vegas, and she happened to be at an Adele concert, and Adele happened to come out, talk to her and her friends, give her a hug when she found out that she was celebrating her divorce. This, ladies and gentlemen, is Rebecca Fineglass. Rebecca, welcome to the Smart Dating Academy podcast. I am so happy to have you here and not grieving this at all.
Not at all. It is such a pleasure to be here with you, Bella. Thank you so much for having me. And you are just phenomenal and love the information that you provide to your listeners. We can all use some more support when it comes to being better daters in the world. And I'm so happy to be here with you.
Oh, I'm so happy too. And we can get right into it. I know you and I have been talking about the fact that, you know, grieving is something that we do a lot in the dating world and even in our relationships. And there are intersections between grief, grieving, and dating. So before we get to that, which is going to be the main source of this, just for those of us who don't know your backstory, kind of tell us you and how did you get to this podcast today?
Ooh, yeah, it's been a real journey over the past few years. I think to tell folks a little bit about me, I have to start with the fact that I am from North Carolina. So I will say y'all periodically, and that comes out sometimes. But I lost my mother to brain cancer as a child. Thank you. It really, set me to be a hustler and a workaholic my entire life, which was a beautiful thing. I spent my career in public policy and in education and in government. I was a bilingual kindergarten teacher. I worked actually for the mayor of Chicago. So after graduate school, spent a few years in your part of the country and then came home to North Carolina, my home state, to serve in our state government here. And I would say life was going pretty great. I got married by the age of 26. Everyone described us as a power couple, and I was close to my father. He was my best friend in the world. And on the same day as COVID lockdown, when I was in our state government team, figuring out how we're going to close schools across the state, I got a phone call that my father died. Totally unexpectedly, out of the blue. I had talked to him that morning when I was on my way into, it was insane, just devastating. And nothing prepares you for a phone call like that.
Nothing.
So I found myself at age 30 with two deceased parents, in the middle of COVID lockdown, trying my best. And eventually realized through lockdown and through trying to hustle through work and do my best for our state that I was in a marriage that actually wasn't serving me at all. And I made the really tough decision to leave my marriage a year after my father died, which is a whole different kind of grief, the grief of ending a relationship, even though it was my choice and something I grieved for. And ultimately, I felt like as I was trying to grieve all of these different losses and trying my hardest to serve our state in COVID response, I felt really overwhelmed and pretty hopeless. And it took me a while to figure out that what I was really missing was an opportunity to grieve. I hadn't made space for any of my feelings. I hadn't taken the time. I was just putting my head down and getting back to work because that's what our society praises people who have experienced loss. We really praise those who get back to work and pick themselves up by their bootstraps. And that wasn't working for me. I was really struggling. And I decided to make a really big choice and spent every day of 2022 grieving. And I called my year grieve leave and blogged about it, thinking it might resonate with someone else. You know,
so what you quit thing? Your job.
I quit my
to
job
grieve. To grieve. Okay.
Exactly
so
right.
2020,
yeah.
Your father unexpectedly passes, your best friend.
That's exactly right.
And so you had been married for a few years at this point.
5 years. Yep. That's right.
5 years. And you had a look at your relationship and now you're stuck in a house together because none of us could leave. And you're like, this doesn't feel right anymore.
That's correct.
So you pulled the plug on that. So now flash forward, all that seismic change in 2022, you're like, F it. I got to go grieve.
Which is not something like if you had told me 5 years ago, 6 years ago, that I would say, F it, I'm going to go grieve. I would have laughed at you because that's not the type of person that I was. I was not in touch with my feelings at all. I was very focused on work. And, it just wasn't something I had ever considered was, something we needed to do as like productive people in society. How could we make time for our wellness? Like that's for other people. And I think in the public service professions in particular, we put so much of our heart and soul into caring for other people.
Serving others.
We
yeah.
don't make that time. So it was a big, big choice in 2022.
So what does it mean to focus on your grieving every day? Like if I'm thinking, you know, we all probably have stuff in our lives that we could grieve. If I was going to pull the plug on my life and just say, I'm going to go grieve for a minute. Is there a way to grieve? Is there a grief plan? What is this?
But what you're asking is like what I was asking myself. I think that when someone loses someone they love, we often will say to them, take all the time you need. And my question in response to that was to do what? What am I supposed to be doing during this time? Am I supposed to be crying? Is that it? Is that grieving? Like I feel terrible and I need to do something more. First of all, I just have to acknowledge everyone should not go quit their jobs to grieve, right? Like that's not feasible. It was such an immense privilege that I could do that. And I recognize that and really believe that if my carefully crafted life was going to fall apart so just epically, that the least that I could do was try to help other people as I sorted out my feelings and sorted out my own grief. But your question is exactly what I wanted to answer. I spent every day of 2022 reading grief books or doing different types of activities. I can give you a million examples of different things that I did to make space for these profound feelings of loss. Yes, for the deaths of my parents, for the death of my mother, I never processed as a child. She was diagnosed with brain cancer when I was 5. I mean, I don't have any memories of her when she was well. To then my father's sudden death, I hadn't made space to process that at all. And then a bigger question is, well, how do you grieve a divorce? What does that even feel like? How does that look? For me, it looked a variety of different ways. One of them was the divorce party you mentioned. But it wasn't always happy looking. Grief is a really complicated set of emotions. We cry in our grief, yes. We also feel nostalgia. We feel lonely in our grief. We feel angry. We feel all kinds of things, but it's this common sense of loss that we need to make space for and process. But that's what I set out to figure out.
Wow. And tell me how that unfolded for you.
Whew. It was a heck of a year. I really set out at the beginning of the year, I'll be honest with you, with a focus on travel. I thought that the year was going to be so much about all of these exotic places that I would visit and that like all of these stamps in my passport would be the sign of a good year of grieve leave.
But it's like eat, pray, love. Like I got to get out.
Eat, pray, cry. I mean, right, exactly. It's the same idea, but I knew I needed to do something drastic. And that this year of kind of escaping my everyday life to force myself to make the space for my feelings was essential for me and a privilege. I started the year by taking a road trip across the country by myself, which was really, it was symbolic for me. My ex and I had taken many road trips together, and he didn't let me drive on those road trips. And that was something that was really frustrating for me. And so I wanted to reclaim the road trip at the beginning of my grieve leave year. And I drove from Durham, North Carolina, where I live, to Tucson, Arizona, which is a special place for my family. We have a lot of family memories there. And then up to Colorado and back, and made all of these stops, just me and my dogs in the back. And that was, it was like something like that, just getting on the open road by myself gave me the space, the quiet, to just feel these feelings that I had really pressed down for a long time. That's one example of something I did. I went to England in my year of grieve leave. I visited my great-great-grandparents' graves. My grandmother passed away, unfortunately. My last living grandparent passed away in 2022. Gosh. I'm like fresh out of family, Bella. But I spent months with her in Montreal, really spending time with her and getting to hear more about her life and stories. But the biggest thing that I learned throughout my year of grieve leave was that all of us are grieving something, and we just don't really talk about it as a society. Like, we praise resilience, we praise pushing forward, but if we were all just a little more open and honest with our feelings, maybe every single one of us might just feel a little better every day. And that doesn't mean we need to dwell in our grief every single day. But we can just show up a little more authentically as ourselves by speaking more openly and honestly about our losses and the grief that we face.
And so I know in the dating process, right, when you're going on first dates, second dates, right, we always want to say, keep it light and easy and effervescent, right?
Yeah.
To juxtapose that. So how in the process of, if you're listening to this and you're like, shit, there's a lot that I haven't yet grieved. And I've always been the one to like go back to the grindstone and grind it out. Like you said, like I just became a hustler and I was ambitious when I was a kid and I worked and I had a good work ethic, but you never process it. How do we reconcile this if we're out in the dating world? How do we know? I think we all know, yeah, maybe I do have some pain around this. What do we do?
Yeah, I think that question is a great one. And it's one I had to wrestle with immediately. I was 31 when I separated from my ex, and it was my first time in the dating pool since I was basically in college. And so I was new to dating apps. I was totally new to that world. I was single for the first time in my adult life. And I had two dead parents and was getting divorced. So I had a lot of grief, a lot of baggage that I had to figure out how to talk about. And for me, I learned pretty quickly. I could show you some old screenshots that I took of different ways I might be more open on my dating profile about the fact that I was on grieve leave, or the fact that I had deceased parents, or that I was separated from my ex. I experimented and put those things literally in my dating profile.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Got fewer matches versus when I would go on dates with people and be, I was just pretty open. I had to be. People ask about their families in their first date. People are going to ask me about my parents. I had to talk about it really upfront. I found that, and the advice that I would give to your listeners is, if you, hopefully you can't relate to the profound experiences of loss that I have way too early, but if you can relate, I think it's better to just be open about it. And you want to be with someone who is ready to be present for your whole self. Like, you want them to be able to connect with you for exactly who you are. You feel like you have to hide your grief or hide pieces of yourself. I don't think that person is for you. That's certainly what I learned. I had to be open. Like, I wanted people to like me for exactly who I was and everything that came with dating me. And that's a lot of grief, unfortunately, but, eventually I found the right person.
Wow. And I have so many questions. I'm like, my brain is
it's fascinating, isn't it? It's wild. It was a wild experience.
But I really like that advice about just being yourself. And when someone asks you about your parents, you know, and you can imagine at Smart Dating Academy, we have thousands of clients that come in and we're giving each one individualized advice, right? And so we can't choose the stuff that's handed to us. Life punches us in the face and the eyes and the mouth sometimes at the same time. Yeah. And then how do you talk about that? And I think that, you know, you'll know that when you're ready to date, when you're not afraid of going to the date and breaking down in tears, right? Because you're just feeling so awful. Can you talk about that a little bit? Like, when did you know you were ready to get back into the dating pool?
It's interesting because I have been a serial monogamist my entire life, always had a boyfriend. And I think, I wonder if you've actually seen this in the clients that you serve, but having lost a parent young, I think I always wanted to attach myself with somebody.
Makes sense.
And yeah, I think that's rooted in a lot of insecurities as a kid. My therapist and I have certainly talked about that. That's a thing, you know, people really struggle having lost parents young. I went back into dating pretty quickly. After my divorce, I went into old serial monogamist mode of needing to attach myself to someone. And in retrospect, I wasn't ready for it. I think that's a big piece of advice that I would give to people who are grieving and getting back into the dating world. It's, you might think you're ready. You might think you are like totally fine a year after a death, let's say, or soon after a divorce or a separation. But I wish I had slowed down and not gotten so lost in the swiping. I was not yet feeling whole. I was feeling very much like I needed to date because I wasn't enough yet. And it was
you were afraid of being alone.
I was it was the first time I'd ever lived alone in my life. I was 31. I'd never lived alone before. And it was just me and my dogs. And it gets me emotional to think about. I think about how down I was at that time. I didn't have any parents. And the societal message on me was that I had failed. I was a failure for my divorce. And I had internalized that narrative and was really stuck in this place of, well, I have to find a boyfriend. I have to go on dates. I need that security. And I'm so grateful for the time that I took over time and through grieve leave, especially through taking that year to grieve. So much of that was just about finding wholeness in myself by processing these losses that I had tried to step down for so long. And part of that had been through dating. You know, it was this attachment to other people. Yeah. It was a distraction. It was an activity. It was a way to get affirmation externally that I was fine, when in reality, I did not feel fine at all inside. And that reflected in who I was dating too. I was pretty much only dating people that were also divorced or who had also experienced profound death related loss. We just would end up connecting on dating apps. And over time, I learned that a connection with someone is so much more than maybe shared trauma. It's more than that. It's about finding someone who is just a good balance for you. And that came from me really believing that I was whole first and foremost. Without that mindset, I would never have found a partner that was so right for me.
And so what did this journey of this 1 year at grieve leave, right? You leave and you travel to England and you go cross country, and all of these activities are in pursuit of experiencing your grief. And I won't say healing from your grief, because I don't know that we ever heal, right? Mm-hmm. We learn to marshal on and to get through it, and sometimes to cope. What are, you know, if you could tell people, what are the things that you would tell them to think about doing if they feel themselves dating, but they're in this space of grief and they're not fully processed?
Oh, wow. What a great question. You're making me think about the ways that I processed grief for my divorce specifically, because I think when we think about grief, we go to death immediately in our minds.
Yeah.
And I think we have more rituals as a society or in our religious backgrounds on how to process our grief related to a death. I'm Jewish, you know, I had spaces and traditions that I could really anchor myself to help me process my father's death, or even doing things like painting or writing music. Like, there are creative outlets that I think people very traditionally associate with. If I want to grieve a death, I can do that through these types of rituals or traditions or create these spaces. But when it came to grieving my divorce, I think that was the thing that I really needed to make the space to grieve, to feel like I could date again. And one thing that was really, I've written about this because it was so, I think, an unexpected way to grieve, was going through and deleting photos of me and my ex-husband from the decade that we were together. And we were together through the birth of Instagram and through Facebook being, you know, sharing thousands of photos of us over many, many years. There were literally thousands of photos. And I let them sit for almost a year before, during my grieve leave time period, I said that this could be an opportunity to create space for my feelings of loss. So I grieved for the end of my relationship by sitting there, going through photos on my iPhone, going through tagged photos on Facebook, going through photos on Instagram, looking at each one, letting myself cry, letting myself be angry, letting myself be frustrated by what I knew was in the background of those happy pictures that I posted, whatever image I was trying to convey that I knew wasn't actually true. I let myself feel it. And then I pressed delete and I let the photos go. And I created a ritual for myself around that. And that is a big way that I grieved for my relationship. And I don't know that people recognize that that is grieving. Grieving is making space for those feelings that sometimes we just want to box up and pretend like aren't there. But making that space, that's what grieving is all about. It can look so many different ways.
I love that. It reminds me of something I did. You know, I used to have our clients do kind of a dating detox. And I know it was, I did the Steve Harvey show for 7 seasons. And in one episode, it was like the season premiere of season 2. We took a group of women to the woods at the Steve Harvey summer dating camp. And one of the things, and they told me to come up with an exercise for these women, and all of them, some of them, everybody had different stories. It wasn't all divorce, all death. Some of them had never been in a happy, healthy relationship, but to bring with them an object that tied them to their grief, that tied them to something unhappy or sad. And everybody had something, and this was on national television, and people brought it and we had a bonfire. And once they talked about it, we threw it into the fire and we burned it. I had women throw wedding rings into the bonfire. I was like, don't you want to pick something else? Maybe you want to take that to a pawn shop. And
that's the value.
No, I mean, and a woman who brought this beautiful, it was just a blue wrap dress. And I was like, okay, this is interesting. And she said, I tried everything to please my husband for years and years, and he never saw me and nothing was good enough. So I bought this blue dress and I dressed up for date night with my husband. I came down the stairs. I looked so beautiful. And he just looked at me and he's like, you're 5 minutes late. And she was like, this dress always reminds me of that. And I was like, toss it into the fire, burn it, let it
go.
Let it go. And so grieving, I like going through photos. Photos, guys, let me tell you, even me, I've been married 25 years. I came upon a box that my parents gave me from their old house that had all like college and high school stuff for me. And I opened it and I was trying to go through it. And I saw these pictures of me with people I had seriously dated in high school and college 25 years later. And there's like a swampy feeling that you feel when you look at that. And I was like, these are good humans, but they weren't good for me. I've got to get rid of this stuff. And so I'm telling you, truth be told, as a married person for 25 years to look at ex-boyfriends, I'm like, what? And there was part of me that resisted throwing things away. And it's like, but it doesn't mean you're throwing yourself away. It doesn't mean you're throwing your history away. It's like, if this is giving me a pit in my stomach, get rid of it. So what Rebecca is telling you is so spot on about your divorce. I didn't divorce these people. These were breakups from 2 decades ago, and it still gave me those feelings. Go get delete happy, delete those photos, get them out of your feeds, get those pictures out, because the most important thing is you have the memories, but you don't have the physical reminders every day bringing that negative energy into your space.
I so agree with your summary there is exactly right. When you're ready for those photos to go, you will know. I wasn't ready at first. I was too scared. I wasn't ready to let my feelings go. I still wanted that anchor some way deep down. And then at some point, I was ready. There's one layer I want to add here, which I just think is tough given this extra layer of grief in my life. My father was present at my wedding. My father is now deceased. And the photos I did not delete are the ones of me and my father. It gets me teary-eyed just thinking about me and my father.
Teary-eyed.
Yeah, dancing at my wedding. That is the memory that I want to keep. It's separate. Like, it's that even in our grief, I can still stay connected to that memory. I don't have to remember the rest of the wedding. I can choose to let go of other pieces of it. Photo-wise, that's fine. But I have every photo of me and my dad dancing with my dad making speeches. Those are the memories I want. I want that image in my mind.
And I hope, you know, for those of you listening, you, so many of you that listen to this podcast have unfortunately lost the love of your life to sickness, to accidents. And we've talked to people on this podcast, and I know my clients listening, yes, it's okay. Many of them continue to have a photograph or photographs in their home of the person that they were widowed by. Is that the right way to say it? Right. The person that they lost. And it's okay. And the new person that comes into your life, I don't tell my clients, you need to purge your home of photos. To your point, that person is part of your story. And the right person will say, you know what? It's okay that you loved him too.
Yeah. You're reminding me of a quote that we shared the other day from grieveleave.com and on our social media. It was from Nora McInerney, who hosts a podcast called Terrible Thanks for Asking. And she lost her husband. I think the quote is, I have a life that I loved and a life that I live now and that I love now. And that both can be true. A life that I had and a life that I love now. And just because we lost our loved one doesn't mean we don't talk about that loved one. It doesn't mean we don't acknowledge that. That is part of grieving too, is still recognizing that that person is present in our lives. And you know you're with the right partner now when that person can help make space for the memory of that loved one too. They know that that's part of who you are. That grief and that loss is part of who you are now in your dating life and in your relationships today. That person doesn't go away just because they're deceased. They're with us.
Absolutely. Well, let's go back to Adele.
I was like, we didn't even talk about Adele.
Okay, let's talk about Adele. Okay, so now you're eat, pray, grieving.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and you've done your road trip. You've gone to Tucson. You've gone to Colorado. You've gone to England.
Things.
Now, tell us about what was this capstone?
Yes. So here's the thing. When we think about grieving, I think we can get very much in the headspace of grieving looks sad. Grieving looks heavy. Grieving looks like crying and looking at photos, right? I had a lot of feelings about my divorce. In the state of North Carolina, you are required to be separated for a year prior to even filing for divorce. So there's this long, complicated, convoluted legal process that we get added into the mix. By the time I was legally divorced, that the judge was finally going to sign that paperwork, I wanted to celebrate. I wanted to celebrate the brave choice that I made to leave a relationship that wasn't serving me when everything in our society was incentivizing me to stay in that relationship. I wanted to celebrate the women that got me through those years of my life that were so hard between my dad's death and the divorce and pandemic. And there were women that helped pick me up off the floor when I didn't feel like I deserved it. And the other piece here is that Adele happened to release her album, 30, which was about her divorce, right when I was separating from my ex. And so it was like this album was my soundtrack to my divorce. So when it was clear that my divorce was, it was finally going to happen after the end of this crazy legal process, where else should we celebrate than in Las Vegas to go see Adele perform from her album 30 among her other wonderful hits. But I wanted to have this divorce party with grieving in mind. I can feel sad and feel loss associated with the life that I didn't get to have from this marriage that I thought was going to be different than what it actually was. And I can celebrate and hug my girlfriends and bring us all together to celebrate each of them. Both are true at the same time. There's laughter and grief and there are tears and grief. And that weekend, Bella, was awesome. Now that I know, I mean, you would have been invited, obviously.
Hell yeah.
It was incredible. We had such a great weekend, lots of dining and dancing. And the piece de resistance of the whole weekend was going to the show. And I brought a sign that said, "You got me through my divorce." There were 14 of us in the audience, all kind of scattered around. I had a tiara that said, "Divorced, babe." Because of Adele's quote, "Divorce, babe, divorce." And my impression of her really hasn't gotten better through all of this.
But it's fine.
It's fine.
So cute.
And she saw us in the audience and it gets me emotional thinking about this too. It was just this unbelievable moment that I feel like was a movie, but there's footage of it. So it like really happened.
Right.
But she stopped her whole concert to talk about how important it is to have your friends by your side in these low moments of our lives. And that our friends are the ones who are going to get us through. It's not, boyfriends come and go, relationships can come and go, but it is our friends that are our anchors.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. And she cried, we all cried. It was amazing. And then the whole thing went viral, which really blew me away because I had felt so down and felt like I was a failure so much in the divorce process. And to just be completely lifted up by not only my best friends, but by the queen, Queen Adele, telling me I wasn't a failure. It was a profound
feeling. Magical. Absolutely. I have like full body goosebumps. If I took off my dress, you could be like, oh my God, it's like hair standing up on my arms. How beautiful. And was that the end of your year? Or that
it was celebrate right at the end. Yeah, it was the capstone. That was in December. And what a beautiful way to then transition into what I do full time now. I mean, the grieveleave.com started as a blog for me to kind of reflect on what I was doing throughout the year, all of these different ways that I was grieving. I thought it might resonate with someone else, but I did not expect what was going to happen. And the Adele capstone to the year was such a beautiful way of connecting people to conversations around grief that are not death-related grief.
Yeah.
Talking about divorce grief was something new for a lot of people. And by the end of the year, I realized that there was something big with what we could be doing societally in how we talk about grief and grieving. And so starting this year in 2023, I founded grieveleave.com. I started a company to help educate people around how we grieve. What does that actually mean? What does that look like? All these different forms of grief that we don't even know that we're feeling. But when we can name those feelings, that is when we can bring our whole selves to work or to our current relationships or at home with our kids, whatever it is. Grieving is just a part of a life well lived. And we don't talk about it enough as a society. So that is what I am doing these days. And it is profound and life-changing. And I love all of the work that we're doing at GrieveLeaf. I'm really, really proud of how far this has come. It blows my mind.
That's awesome. And tell us what you do. Is it a blog? Do you coach groups? Like, tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah. Well, first of all, we're growing. So this is just the beginning. But we are an education, and advocacy organization, specifically around sharing resources to help folks through all different kinds of grief. We write about grief and grieving, different topics related to divorce, related to job transition grief, related to death. We have a blog, where we feature guest speakers, and guest experts on different topics related to grief. We have a social media platform. You can follow us at GrieveLeaf. You can visit our website, grieveleaf.com. We are working on founding support groups locally here in the South. I live in a mid-sized city, Durham, North Carolina. There really just aren't a lot of resources, particularly for young adults who are facing loss. And that is a big area where we see a lot of room to provide that in-person support and that virtual support. So we're working on grieving support groups. And there's just, the sky is the limit. We can't talk enough about grief and grieving because it is the thing we don't talk about. So creating more conversations around it, that is what we're all about. And changing policies to make it easier for all of us to grieve.
Wow. I know. I mean, I'm afraid of grief.
Aren't we all though?
Terrified.
You're not alone. You're not
terrified
alone.
Of it, right? Aren't we all? Who
we
wants
all are.
To? Right. It's like,
scary.
I know.
It's a scary thing. And it is the one guarantee of life that we will all face loss. And it is the scariest thing to talk about, but we don't have to do it alone. That's the one thing that we can change. We will face loss in our lives. That is with 100% certainty. But the thing that doesn't have to be true is we don't have to be totally isolated in those feelings. Like when we experience loss and grief, we feel like we're the only person who has ever felt that way, ever. And the truth is that you're not. There's so many other people who totally relate to how you feel. And if we can just have more open conversations about those feelings of loss, we can each get out of bed a little easier each day. We can show up to work a little bit less anxious every day. If we just know that, yeah, that grief is normal. You are normal. You're totally normal for feeling however it is that you feel about your loss. The social stigmas and that isolation, we can really do something about that. That is what GrieveLeaf is about.
Wow. Well, I love that you are doing God's work, and I'm so glad that
you
are out there, and you know, you saw that there was a problem that needed solving and you put your heart into it and you're passionate about it. And now you are doing it. And I'm so glad that we had you on the show today. And are there any last nuggets that you would want anybody who's struggling with grief? Like, how can they be better?
How do we grieve better? First thought, I would tell people, come visit GrieveLeaf.com. Follow us on social media. We are always sharing resources and information that help explain some of these feelings that you think are crazy. You're not crazy. You're not the only person who struggles with these feelings. But I would say make space and make time in your day for those feelings of loss, for that grief, even if that is 5 minutes after your alarm goes off in the morning, and you sit there for 5 minutes and you think about whatever the loss is that you've tried to not think about, give yourself space to acknowledge it. Maybe you journal for those 5 minutes. Maybe you do look at pictures of a loved one that's no longer here for 5 minutes. maybe your kids are on the playground and you sit to the side for a few minutes, giving yourself space and just letting yourself acknowledge those feelings. That is my biggest advice. It's okay to grieve. It is okay.
Wow. What great advice. Thank you so much for being on our show. And I know we will have you back when you meet Adele the next time.
Yeah, totally.
Taylor Swift.
Oh my gosh. Well, you'll have to come. We'll meet her together. Bella, thank you. I so appreciate it. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to connect with your listeners. It is just a pleasure to connect with you. Thank you.
And Smart Daters, as always, we're grateful to Rebecca. And for those of you who feel like you need help with your grief, go to grieveleave.com. And for those of you who feel like, you know what? I might be grieving, but I might be done grieving and I'm ready to get back into dating. Look up Smart Dating Academy. Sign up for our newsletter, smartdatingacademy.com. Go to Instagram. We post content on a daily basis. There are people around you. You don't have to do this alone. You don't have to grieve alone. You don't have to date alone. You just have to decide you are worth it. And I will tell you, dear listener, you are worth it. So until then, see you next week. Thanks for listening. And as always, download us, share us, show us the love, follow Instagram at Smart Dating Academy. And if you or someone you know wants to learn more, check out our website at smartdatingacademy.com. We're here to bring you love.